אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We are readings from Bala Sulam letters, letter 56. You can get into our site cup.tv, send us your questions, and selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Writings of Bala Sulam, letter 56, starts with Menisei. Menisei, who will show me good? And yet, very few find it. We should therefore understand where is that great and relentless obstacle which fails so many mercilessly. I have already pointed out to you several times the famous law in the holy books that nothing is given unless by merit, meaning through labor, which everyone calls awakening from below. Without it, no bestowal from above, called awakening from above, will ever happen. These words and laws are known to all, but their extent is not known, or they do not want to know it. For this reason, there is a big edifice of the Sitra Acha, which stands and makes allowances in the matter that is not necessarily to exert beyond human capability. In their times, one has an entire lore from others and books showing the kindness and mercy of his guidance with a person who is not so meticulous. He has a sudden pre-prepared proofs for it instantaneously. As it is written, the Creator does not criticize his creations. They said about such that the Torah is called Sam. For if he is not rewarded, the Torah itself becomes to him a potion of death. For they are learning Torah from Sam, the wicked. And from him they understand. His words of Torah are immediately accepted by the heart and are always kept in the memory, for they are contemplated day and night. God save us from him and from his followers. What shall we do for those, and how can we reach out to them or slightly move them from their places when they are not at all ready for an awakening from below? I wish to say that even if we succeed with the Creator's help to draw upon them the greatest awakening of the body, to crave and covet him, they will still not want or won't be able to, with that power of theirs, to give the measure of awakening from below that is needed for an awakening from above. This is something about which the Creator has never made allowances since days of old until this day and always, for he has given an unbreakable law. It is said about it in full measure when you send her away. You contend with her. The Creator measures a person one portion at a time. It is also written, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full, referring also to our topic. The iniquity of the Amorite is the klipa, shell, that keeps and surrounds the fruit, called awakening from above, or the land of Israel. That klipa will not move from its place even as a herd's breath before Israel complement entirely the necessary measure of awakening from below called merit, meaning the labor and exertion beyond human capability. Anything that one can do is merely called work. It is still not considered labor. When Israel reached that point, they complement their amount, and then it is called the iniquity of the Amorite is full. In other words, it is evident that the land of Israel and the glory of the Creator, being the Holy Divinity, do not belong to them. Then they break that klipa called Emorite and raise divinity from the dust, and not a moment sooner, as in the verse. This is the meaning of the explicit number 400 years, which shows the great precision in that matter, that there are no concessions here at all. As our sages said, the matter of skipping over the end, which was mandatory and obligatory for Israel, that skipping caused all the exiles to this day. It is also known that the general and particular are equal. That is, in each one from Israel concerning the soul, there is this, the matter of coming to the land, and all that is said in the whole of Israel, and that in his awakening from below, there is that number 400 years, which is 400 of death and 400 of life. Our sages said, Asher du, for meaning of 400 years of enslavement, refers to the place in which he is permitted to pay back the measure of his labor precisely, for in that there are no concessions, not even as a hair's breadth. This is why our sages said, I did not labor and found, do not believe. And also, the Torah exists only in one who puts himself to death over it, as well as he who wishes to live shall put himself to death, and many others that are similar. In contrast, they said, I labored and did not find, do not believe, for they knew that that wicked son, his lore is in his hand, to show that it is possible to find the Creator's salvation without labor beyond human capability, by which one is made to let go of one's grip in the awakening from below, and he is repelled each day into a great abyss. Afterwards, when he returns and recognizes his falsehood and finds his faith in the words of our sages, that the lack of labor and awakening from below had lured him to the netherworld, he therefore wishes to strengthen himself and dedicate himself to worshiping the Creator. At that time, he promptly returns to him with new heresy. Thus, even labor does not help at all, because he, God forbid, does not hear the prayer of every mouth. That is, he has pre-prepared proofs to show that there are those who exert, but do not find at all. This is why they warned, I labored and did not find, do not believe. Thus, I have shown you the web in which the robbed souls that have no comfort are judged. Is that mistake in the meaning of the word labor? However, truthful is the verse, they who seek me shall find me. I still see much evil in the world, where those caught in the web of the Sitra Achra labor needlessly, which is only a depiction of punishment. That is, it does not join the account of 400 years whatsoever, and for that my heart aches more than anything. About such a person should brace himself with the prayer, may he grant that we will not labor in vain, for it requires great success in that matter. You should also know that the labor and exertion that appears in one's heart during the prayer is the most reliable and most guaranteed to reach its goal than any other matter in reality.
אנחנו לומדים we learn that the whole of reality is the ratio, the relationship between two forces, the receiving force and the bestowing force. That the bestowing force, called the light, operates on the receiving force, the will to receive, and it changes it. It corrects it until that will to receive will resemble in its form the bestowing force. That the will to receive will take on a form called the created being, which is outside of the Creator, outside of the force of bestowal, opposite it, and standing opposite it. And later on, that receiving force, the created being, will gradually, as it attains its opposite state, opposite to the force of bestowal, in accordance with that, through the means that it is given, would start taking part in that self-change. That even though the labor is above human power, above the power of that created being, the will to receive cannot save itself, but he can perform all kinds of actions and out of all the conditions that the light, the bestowing force, arranges for it, it does work towards the change, in as much as possible, as much as he can, as much as he's given the possibility, that all of his labor, his exertion, in the framework that he is in, still at the level of the animate, still vegetative and animate. When he performs, puts in all the required exertion at the animate degree, then the upper light nonetheless works on it. Not directly, but as we call it, the surrounding light, the light that reforms. And in such a way, through the necessary labor, it reaches a deficiency for change, and then the upper light concludes the labor, and then we end up with, I labored and I found. And on the way, in order for him to invest exactly the right labor, that same upper light that constantly shines on it and takes care of it, brings it all kinds of discernments for and against, bringing closer and pushing away, and the will to receive has to discern them correctly. The thing here is very simple. If the upper light works on the desire and there's nothing else, just none else besides him, it turns out that what is in the will to receive is always whatever comes from the light. So how can the will to receive put in an exertion, meaning some addition, some movement towards the changes, towards the light, if there's only it and the light that is opposite it? So the third part, the middle force, the addition with which it can express something out of itself, the will to receive gets by having been broken, and around it there are many other desires to receive, that they are all distant from one another, by their ego, by the will to receive called the ego. And if through various actions they can come closer, perform all kinds of actions on their plane, on the plane of this world, the very final, lowest degree that allows them to do so, in which even without a desire it is possible to bring about changes, then it turns out that those same desires to receive that are distant from one another can bring about an action of coming closer to one another, as if they are under the influence of the light, meaning that a person can come closer to his friend and perform all kinds of actions, and it's as if the light is working and bringing them closer. As if. Of course, it's not real, because the desire doesn't change from that, but what changes is some other factor related to the light, and this is how it works. It's a wonder what can happen in this world in a degree that is so low, so despicable, that it is completely opposite spirituality. It is in complete detachment from spirituality on the one hand. On the other hand, it has allows a wonderful opportunity that by physical proximity, through all kinds of different false actions, a person can influence his inner desire, and then through his inner desire to influence the reforming light, and then the reforming light will affect him in a concealed manner until it truly brings him into a real change in desire. So it turns out that inside of a man in this world, where he's still really like an ape, there is the opportunity, the end of the thread, from which he can truly bring himself out to the enlightened world. And therefore, if one uses correctly all of these elements, all of the means that he was given from above, if he takes it that way, that they were given to him from above, then he is able to provide the necessary awakening from below required for an awakening from above. And only one has to know precisely the order of the actions that he has to perform, and then the light has to perform. This knowledge, this scrutiny, guards the person from not expecting salvation, redemption to come without labor. That simply time does its thing, just like that. That there are people who, for which it is easier to go through these phases, and it's not that 400 years of exile are required from everyone, meaning the complete measure of this labor, working in connection in the group in order to achieve the arvut and the force of connection out of themselves. If a person knows that he has all the means in order to reach the desired outcome, the purpose of one's life, then he doesn't despair, he keeps going and he reaches it. And also, following all the calculations, he keeps transcending the outcomes. He starts realizing that the exertion, the opportunity to exert that he received, is the reward. Questions?
Ariel from Jerusalem is asking, what is needless exertion that he mentions here?
Needless exertion is anything that doesn't bring about the influence of the reforming light, that doesn't position me with the right deficiency towards the reforming light, that I expect it to influence me and change me in such a way that I will be worthy of bringing contentment to the Creator. Yes.
Friends from Zichron are asking, so what is the right exertion?
I said now that we are in a spiritual degree that is outside spirituality. And that degree is very unique, far more important than all the spiritual degrees. In it, there is truly a wondrous combination of qualities of the will to receive and will to bestow that don't exist anywhere else, in no other degree. That you can, well, like a child who plays and he becomes smarter, without any feel, without mind, without understanding, without activating large systems, he suddenly becomes smart. That is, he activates them, but he doesn't know how, he doesn't even know that these systems exist and what state he has to reach, doesn't know, doesn't see anything. Rather, he has this inner impulse, and he plays. All we lack is that impulse, that drive. All the rest, you know, we do like children. And that drive, we also have all the means to reach that, to equip ourselves with that. If I'm in an environment and the environment provokes me, constantly warms me up, well, through envy, craving, and respect that they have and I don't have it, etc., then I start yearning, I start wanting, what is it you want? I don't know what it is, but it seems to me that they have it and I don't. So, on the side of nature already, we have these elements, I have these desires, and I only have to arrange them correctly to create such a network of relationships between us that they give me the understanding of the greatness of the goal. And suddenly I see that, yes, it is so. They are attracted to it. Maybe they have it already, and I don't have it yet. Maybe I'm even far away. Then they give me an example of how to help one another, which is already close to spirituality. It's important. And I also look at that. The main thing is the envy. Envy, envy, envy. Because our ego is turned on by it, it really suffers from that. So, if I'm in an environment and I tie myself to them in such a way that I have nowhere else to run away to, then that envy, even though it's a negative emotion, doesn't throw me out, rather the other way around. I'm drawn forward. And in such a way, I succeed. So what do I succeed? I succeed in wanting. That is, the desire is not mine. I acquired it from the group, but by not running away from them, by subjugating myself towards them, by connecting with them in such some manner. And these things can be completely corporeal, up to the point where I can pay with money, like the example of Rabbi Zushi, that he paid the music players so that they'll bring him an awakening. So much so, these things are really that way. Or that I arrange a meal for the friends. I invest in such a way, it doesn't matter. And then they influence me in return. Now, when I receive their desire towards spirituality, it's not spirituality. It's actually some sort of a corporeal achievement. I want to be greater, smarter, more something. But this is sufficient for me, as much as I try, because nonetheless I won't really think about spirituality. I'm still in the will to receive. I'm on this side of the barrier. But it is enough in order to draw the light that reforms. That is, in our degree, there is the ability to work and influence beyond the degree itself and draw the light. It's like a magnet that can work through a wall or... Now, the reforming light affects me. How come it affects me, influences me? How can the light affect me if I'm not capable, not suitable, if I and the light are opposite one another? Also, this transition, this passage between me and spirituality, the next degree, where the light is coming from, that passage doesn't work that way. The light can actually work on me and change me according to its nature, that is, of the vessels in which it is, in a higher degree. And then I can equalize myself with these vessels and in such a way start entering to this upper degree as an embryo. Ibu, Yenika, Mochin, conception, infancy, and Mochin. So, until I acquire it. So the state that we're in now, we really just have to use correctly this entire degree called this world, the whole of humanity and our relatives and those that are those near us and far away from us, and the study and the group, so that you really don't need anything else. Everything is here. Just arrange that correctly. Then we'll move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.